Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Ari Galper, who's the world's number one authority on trust-based selling. Ari, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here and appreciate you having me.
You are welcome. And I followed your work for a while and I read your book cover to cover. You know, a lot of people say in one sitting, but I think probably for me it was two sittings, but still it was a really quick read and chock full of great information. So I'm excited to learn from you today and your work with financial professionals. Get us started with a little bit of your story and background and how did you get into the industry?
Yeah, so there's a story around this and how I created this concept around trust-based selling. Years ago, I was ran a sales team in a software company. We sold the first online website tracking tools to collect user behavior through websites for sales conversion. And the big leads, the big whales, the big opportunities came across my desk. And this one opportunity came across one day, and I called back the contact, and they were with a huge company. Multiple websites, big opportunity, and he agreed to a conference call with his CEO and his key people and myself to do a demo of our product. So I was pretty excited. If I close this one sale, it'll double the revenue in one call. That's how big this was. So I was pretty pumped up. And the day finally came, Friday 4 o'clock in the afternoon, went in the conference room, closed the door behind me. This is the early days. We had just a screen and like a speakerphone. And still internet, but we had the old school, like Star Trek looking speakerphones, like the corporate ones. And I dialed the number in their conference line. My guy's there. He's like, "Hey, Ari, how's it going?" I said, "Good." And he says to me, "Ari, let us tell you who's in the line with us today." I said, "Great." Next thing I hear is, "My name's John. I'm CEO." I was like, "Ooh, this is good. Good person to be there." Yeah. "My name's Mike. I'm head of global IT." Perfect. "My name is Julie. I'm head of marketing." Perfect. I mean, everybody on this call, wow, Mike, was a decision maker. Like, this is, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen today because we're all there. So I then started describing myself and what we do. Then we gave them a demo to show them live on one of their websites, live tracking to see the visitors going from page to page. And we all log in together and I start showing this to them. And they're like, I hear these noises on the phone call, like, "Wow. This is amazing. This is great. I can't believe we can see this information. This is all early days, you know." And they start asking me all kinds of questions. How does it work? How do we install it? How do we deploy it? And of course, I had all the answers. I was competent technically. Yeah. I was answering questions. There was so much chemistry on this phone call. It was like a love fest on the phone. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
When it's just so much chemistry going back and forth. They're asking me all the right questions. I've got all the answers. I'm saying to myself, this is a done deal. This is so good. I was like high-fiving myself, you know. I was like, man, there's so much chemistry here. They like me. They love the product. They're all there. An hour goes by. At the end of the meeting, my guy says to me, "Ari, we love this. This is great. Look, give us a call a couple weeks. Follow up with this, and we'll move this thing forward." I was like, "Ah, yes, thank you, God." I was so excited. I was like, "Man, this is so good." And so I said my goodbyes. I took my arm and I reached for the speakerphone on the table, and I'm reaching for that off button. As I reached for the off button, by complete accident, now by divine intervention, I hit the mute button instead of the off button by accident. And a small click happened, and they thought I hung up the phone. In that split second, I said, and they started talking amongst themselves, thinking I had left the call.
Oh, now we're getting real.
Exactly. So I said to myself, "What the heck? I'll listen to this for a couple seconds." I pulled my thumb back, and they started talking amongst themselves. Now, you would think that I'd hear things like, what? Positive things, right?
Yeah.
Like, "Hey, we like this, looking good, this is amazing." But here's what I heard verbatim, word for word. I'll never forget it. It's why we're all here today. They said this. They said, "We're not going to go with him. Keep using him for more information. Ooh. And make sure we shop someplace else cheaper. Knife and heart twist. Mike, I was in a state of shock. I could not believe it. After all that, and I snapped out of it, I hit the off button. I looked at the wall in front of me, and I said to myself, what did I
just happen?
Wrong.
Right.
I am competent. I'm friendly. I wasn't pushy. I was educational in nature. I did everything I was taught to do by the gurus. I was built a relationship with them. I did everything right. Now, why were they not comfortable telling me the truth? Why did this even happen? How did this happen?
Yeah, because if you think about it, all of those big wigs with all the power there, they could have easily said, hey, thank you so much for your time. We're not going to move ahead because boom, boom, boom. And they would have known they could have just crushed you right there. So did you ever figure out, like, what are the two bullet points of why did they say that?
Well, my realization from that experience changed my life. I realized that selling has become a dysfunctional human behavior where either one or both parties aren't comfortable telling each other the truth. I realize what's going on in the market is it's like two ships in the night passing each other, never connecting. And I asked myself, why were they afraid to just tell me the truth? And for multiple reasons, you know, hurting my feelings, whatever. And this problem occurs every day right now deep inside the financial advisor industry, where advisors meet with new clients. They build a rapport with them. They educate them. They get to like them and know them better. At the end of the meeting, they say things like, I want to think about it. I'm not ready yet. Send me information. Follow up with me. And they lose the people. And I'm saying to myself, I got to help fix this problem for financial advisors. And that's when I invented my approach based upon trust-based selling that's now evolved into what I call the one-call sale, where it's a mental model shift from a financial advisor to financial doctor, where you don't give advice, you don't educate, and you do not give value, which is, I know, so contrarian to the entire industry that grew up in the world of no like and trust selling, which came from the 80s.
Yep.
We were taught to get to know someone. Once they get to know someone, they like you. And if you like you enough, they'll work with you. Well, that was great when the industry was not commoditized.
And you're one click away from your competitor, and they can find all that quote unquote value online. You might think I'm teaching, I'm educating, I'm being their advocate, but in reality, they just found it on four Google searches, and you're just saying the same thing. So what's the illumination there? How do you become that financial doctor and not give away the value and still hold control?
You're right. Information and value has now been commoditized. And on top of that, if you attempt to educate them on something, they will view it as persuasion, as you attempting to convince them of your way, which builds distrust. Remember, the market now is shopping you. You are being shopped by somebody. You're a commodity. And you got to wake up to realize we're now in a commoditized world. And you, if you're selling the old way like you always have been, and we're now in a new market. If you don't upgrade your thinking around this, you'll keep losing high net worth opportunities that never convert. And want to think about it, you'll be chasing ghosts the rest of your career. So the way I fix this problem is compress the sales cycle for multiple meetings and steps into one meeting, where it's a doctor-patient metaphor, where the goal of the meeting is not to get to know them at all, or for them to get to know you at all. It's not a love fest.
When you met with that surgeon, did he ask what you did this past weekend to get to know, like, and trust you? Yeah, I see where you're going with that. That's strong.
When you go see a doctor, first thing it says to you is this: where does it hurt?
Yep.
And you say, my shoulder. He says, let me take a look. Ooh, looks a little sore. Let's get an x-ray, see what's going on. He gets the x-ray, puts in the light bulb thing, and says to you, here's the problem I see. You got that going on. You got that going on. You got that going on. You're like, wow. You feel a sense of relief that you have clarity on the issues behind your own problem that hurts. Then the doctor walks you through a plan for how to fix it, medicine, whatever. Then you walk out the door, you go to the front desk, and you pay. You pay the doctor, not for solving your problem. It still hurts, but only for clarity and a path to fix it. Now, the pharmacist dispenses the medicine 5 steps down the road, not the doctor. Now, the financial advisors, what are they doing? They're doctor, pharmacist, educator, all mixed together into one in the first meeting. They're dispensing ideas. They're trying to become their friend. Doctors don't do coffee for a reason. They don't hang out with you. And the irony of all this, Mike, is they don't even have to like you to work with you.
Yep. That sounds pretty harsh.
They just have to trust you. And relationship building is not trust building pre-sale. Because real relationships take a lot of time to develop. That's real relationship building. Fake relationship building is when you try to add rapport to a short amount of time. When they know the game, they've had other meetings with their advisors already. They know what's going on. They're just playing along with you because they have to, because you force them to be in that realm. So
I've got a question for you, Ari, because I'm tracking right along with you. And if we could, put a circle around the word trust and put it in all caps and bold, that's where you're hanging your hat. And I love it. And if you were to say to a financial professional, I can teach you how to get this trust and you will close more sales, they're going to go, yes, yes, yes. But you're saying you do it in one call. And that is just us. You can hear the tires screeching. What do you say to an advisor? And we don't need to go into your entire strategy here in the next 5 minutes, but what do you say to an advisor that goes, yeah, I get that, but man alive, in one call? How do you develop that trust so fast?
Well, you do it. By the way, this is the question I get every time because no one believes it. Yeah. So it's not like right. You're a question. So the way it happens is we have to first challenge your own thinking and eliminate all the things you're doing right now causing this not to happen.
Yeah.
Like educating people, building rapport, talking too much, trying to solve their problem. On top of that, I tell these people, stop fact-finding on that first meeting. Fact-finding is not trust-building.
Yeah.
That's cross-examining them on a witness stand. The irony of this, Mike, is they don't really care about how you solve their problem. They assume you can do it because they know what you do. You're a financial advisor. It's not a mystery. What they really care about and want to know is, are you the one to solve their problem or not? They are judging you based upon your approach, not your value proposition. That's a commodity. They probably already have a financial advisor anyways. Everyone's got one.
Yep.
So here you are saying, hey, look at me. And we do this. Here's our philosophy. They don't care about you. Nothing personal. They care about solving their own problem. And if you, and the way we, go ahead.
You what you just said there reminds me of an old speaker trick that I'm confident that you know, but I always say this. Hey, what's everyone's favorite radio station? WIIFM. What's in it for me? They really don't care about, I mean, they do kind of, but in reality, let's get down to brass tacks like that surgeon. They don't care about anything but fix me. Here's where it hurts.
Here's where advisors get confused about this. They feel an obligation when someone describes their problem to them to take it on their shoulders and in their mind start solving it. Because they have what I call the curse of mastery. They've been around so long that they know their stuff so well. The moment that someone says to them, I'm looking for help in my retirement, their brain goes, I can fix that. I'm going to show you a way to fix that. Let me ask you a couple questions and let me show you how we work. See, they already make assumptions already in solution mode in their mind.
Yep.
To be a doctor, you cannot make assumptions. The patient themselves may say to you, my shoulder hurts, but they themselves don't know the context at a 360 view as to why it hurts. They can't explain to you. You have to do an x-ray with them, a financial MRI, I call it, to help them see their own problem in a different way. You got to help them see the gravity of it, the seriousness of it, and the urgency of it. You got to help them see the gaps they can't see inside their own problem. That requires you to get out of your head in solution mode and go into problem central mode and be problem centric, which means doing a deep dive inside their problem and unpacking it and put the onion back. It's called going down the iceberg, what we teach our clients to do, to give them the skill set to diagnose and not provide solutions, because they're going to hire you not based upon your value. They're going to hire you based upon your ability to provide them clarity on their own problems.
So Ari, it makes me think of something else, and I need your advice on this, because I know, I'm confident you have to cover this in your teaching. You've heard the saying that goes something like, you can't get where you want to go if you keep doing the things that you were doing to get to where you are, because you have to, you know, you have to do new and different things. Meaning, when that prospect comes to that financial advisor and you're on their call and you're seeing what they've been doing, at some point you see where there's a quote unquote problem or they should be doing something differently. How do you get the advisor to communicate with kindness so that that prospect client doesn't feel like you're coming down on them like, oh my word, you shouldn't have never done it this way, that way, the other way, because you have to point to the fact that it could be done better without offending and making them feel bad.
Right. It's this word called empathy, yeah. Which most advisors have a hard time conveying. Most advisors operate from their head, not their heart. And we help them create what we call bedside manner with people, showing they care about them and empathy. Of course they care about them, but they don't have a way to express it. They're like human calculators. They get the facts, they calculate the answer, and off they go to a next step. That's not trust building.
Yeah.
That's trying to solve the problem. This is a whole new level of depth that most advisors were never ever taught their entire career. And never was important till now, because previously to COVID, providing unique information and being unique in not being one of many was special. But now those days are over. Hence why you're being shopped and why you can't convert 100% of your opportunities. And that's our goal for all of our clients, is 100% conversion of everyone that's qualified on that first meeting, assuming they fit your model. If they don't, you're the problem, not them.
Yeah, there's just not a good fit. You should, out of obligation, just kind of move on and say, hey, there's not a fit because. But you mentioned COVID, and it made me think of something, because all of these approaches and mindsets with developing and building trust, it makes total sense. And if you were sitting belly to belly with someone and someone from the golf club referred someone to you and you sat down, all of these things would make sense. But now it's 10x, 100x more important in the world of virtual.
Yeah, correct. Now, this requires the advisor being very open-minded, being willing to be coached, and to be challenged with their own thinking. This is a transformation that has to occur. So this is not sales training. This is trust training.
Yeah.
It's never before been available in the industry until now through this model, because no one ever thought this way until now, because we didn't have to. But now we have to.
Well, so let's kind of think about this, or let me ask you this question. I think that whenever someone hears mindset shifts and all that, it makes me think of the old saying, what's easy to do is easy not to do. So probably when you are teaching and coaching your advisors this one certain thing and this technique and that technique, it's not like, oh, I've got to spend 9 years mastering it. It's not a hard thing to do. It's easy to do, but it's also easy not to do. How do you get them to realize the gravity and actually put it into action?
Well, first of all, you're right in that this does not take a lot of effort to do or learn. It's not a long-term process. It takes about 4 weeks. That's about it. It's a quick intervention, in and out. We know how to strategically help the advisor understand and see for the first time, to become aware of their old conditioning and their old behaviors getting in their own way. Once they see that, they go, oh, got it. Then we give them the framework and roadmap for how to be able to unpack and go down what we call the iceberg, to have trust-based questions, not fact-finding questions, to help peel the onion back, to help the prospect feel you care about them, help them understand what I call cost of inaction, COI, not the other COI, but the CISC COI.
Yep.
Where you
have an influence.
No, that's the worst model to do because it's now been commoditized channel also. But the point here is you got to help the prospect see what it costs them not to solve their problem. You have to help them see the urgency of the issue, and you have to wait until they say this to you. How can you help me?
Yeah.
That's when you know you're at the bottom of the iceberg. Then we walk you through a visual tool called Roadmap to onboard them. And once you see how simple this is, then that's why it takes a very short amount of time to make the shift. And you can test it live with live people and then get the result and the ROI, like literally instantly.
Yeah. And you know, here's something that I would suspect if we were to overlay your framework over the traditional air quotes sales training, where it's, you know, rapport, you know, all, you know, where I'm going, rapport building and hey, where do you feel this is? Where do you want to be? Where are you at now? Oh, here's the gap, you know, and then stick a, you know, put a stick in that and really amplify that. Oh, it doesn't feel good, does it? That gets to be the point where people are like, this just feels so disingenuous. And it's just not me taking people through that. Is your framework and process a free flowing, comfortable conversation where advisors would feel like I could do that?
This is about being purely authentic with who you really are and caring about people. Yeah. And this came from my son, Toby, who has Down syndrome. I wrote a book about him called Lessons from Toby. And I learned how to be transparent, how to have no hidden agenda, and how to let go of my goals and focus only on the other person's goals and dig in their world to help them feel connected. You know what real trust is? When you meet somebody and you say to yourself, man, he just gets me. She, you know, you meet your wife or husband, you say to yourself, oh, she gets me. That's what real trust is. That's what Toby does every day with people. People connect with him because he doesn't have a hidden agenda or a mental model where to bring someone next. And that's what I base this on. So this is about pure authenticity, being honest and open with people, and letting go of your old conditioning and being free to be yourself.
That is so huge. Well, Ari, I think we could talk for about another 9.5 more hours and still be taking our first breath and moving forward. So I would like to just say, if someone is interested in learning how to unlock their sales game and amplify that trust-based selling, what's the best way that they can go and learn more about your work, pick up a copy of your book, and reach out and connect with you?
The best starting point is to go to my name, arigalper.com. And on the homepage is my newest book called Trust in a Split Second. You can get that book there. I think it's still available for free. You can order the book and you can schedule a consultation with us. We can have a chat with you to do an x-ray on your sales process and figure out what your holes are and see if you're even open to this idea. And I think once you go through our process and see how we handle you, you can mirror that and learn from us just from that alone. So I'd encourage you, if you're here listening to this right now and this intrigues you, go to arigalper.com and just order the book, schedule the consultation. It's complimentary, and keep an open mind. Don't be skeptical, because that's the only way you're going to be able to change. Hopefully that helps, Mike.
It sure does, Ari. Thanks a million for coming on. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
All right. Take care.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.